It's that time again for the Canvas TLDR podcast. I'm Matt Goodwin with product.
I'm Jen Mitchell with K-12 product marketing.
I'm Ryan Lufkin with higher ed product marketing.
We're here to share the latest and greatest in Canvas.
We're talking about the why in what we build, because Canvas can. Welcome to the February 2021 Canvas TLDR podcast. Exciting to be back again. Hopefully everyone's surviving the snowpocalypse of 2021.
Yeah, it's everywhere right now.
Everywhere. Here in Utah, I'm looking at like 18 inches of snow outside.
Texas, we've got coworkers that are like buried in their homes in Texas.
Our friends in Portland also. Yeah. It's crazy. Well, what do we have on the agenda for today?
Well, Ben Berte is going to join us to talk fun K-12 assessment news and some improvements coming to Mastery Connect.
We've got Jody from Product in Canvas Land going to talk about the ever so controversial, used to be called Treat Ungraded as Zero. It's been, we're changing the names, I think, to View Ungraded as Zero. So stay tuned for that.
So we have a short episode for the shortest month of the year.
Woot. Let's get to it.
I want to welcome back to the show, Ben Berte. It's always fantastic to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
No, it's always exciting because, you know, we're talking about the world of K-12 and Mastery Connect and all the new stuff that you're bringing to make this weird teaching era better and suck a little less.
Indeed. It's been a really good quarter for us at Mastery Connect to end out 2020, which was exciting. As you mentioned, Matt, what a strange year for everyone, for all our teachers, for all of us in the education industry and just life in general. So it's always good to have some positive things to talk about in relation to Mastery Connect and how we're supporting the current classroom environment. So yeah. Good to be here.
And for those listeners who haven't heard about the exciting news that we did around tools and accommodations in December, that was released, and I know we have some more work on that. So what exactly came out in December?
Great question. So we've been focused a lot on providing more tools and accommodations in both our benchmark and our formative assessments. So when we think about benchmark assessments, assessments being delivered by the district in order to gauge, you know, grade level progress or subject level progress on how are we doing against a set of standards. And then formative assessment, thinking more of a teacher driven assessing on a day-to-day basis or weekly to really do the smaller checks on how students are understanding, recognizing that classes are often quite mixed and then, you know, there's some people at home and some people in the classroom and things. We always think that having more supports to show what a student knows and doesn't know at the moment is helpful. So what we released in December is a number of tools and accommodations for the admin on the benchmark and for the formative. And those are flagging of questions. So as a student is taking an assessment, they can flag the question to notify them to return to it. Just a nice maintenance thing for them to be able to stay accountable as they're progressing through an assessment to make sure that they remember to go back to something. We've added in a line reader, which allows them to focus text. So it basically is, you know, if you think of it as like a card with a slot out of it, it allows them to put it over a passage and move it down so they can look at very specific content and read it line by line. They could put it over a special area in a passage while they're answering a question. They may want to focus it on top of a question while they're reading it and identify something that they think is especially important. But really the point there is to help the students stay organized as they're addressing the content. Additionally, we've added a highlighter, which is a similar type of thing. It allows them to highlight in three colors the text of a passage or a question in order to focus on certain elements as they're reviewing it. You know, as many of us who worked in the paper and pencil era, it's transitioning a lot of the paper and pencil to have the technical tools. We would underline things or we would, you know, take a marker and put it around it. And that really allowed us to focus certain topics to review and keywords and things like that. So it allows the student to read with intentionality and call out certain components of the content. Additionally, strike through. This is a big component on multiple choice questions. So as I'm addressing a multiple choice question, if I recognize answer choice B is not relevant to the question, I can cross that out. It allows the student to narrow down and then really focus on the couple choices that they deem the ones that are most likely to be correct, and then maybe explore for more context or think about it and address that in a smaller scale. Just lessening the overwhelming amount of options to get to a subset. And then last, we've added calculators, which have always been available at the question level, but now they can be turned on by the teacher or the administrator at the assessment level, along with these additional features. So this is a big set of features. On the benchmark side, it'll be enabled when the benchmark is managed by the district administrator or benchmark facilitator. On the teacher side, there's actually two places they can utilize these tools and accommodations for formative. One, at the tracker level, they can set settings of which ones would be on at all times. So if a teacher wants strike through and line reader to always be available to students, they can do it at the tracker level, and those will always be by default turned on for the whole class for every assessment. They can also go into each assessment, and in the assess modal, which gives the test ID, there are iconography of each of these tools and accommodations that can be configured at a per assessment basis. So depending on the type of content, if there's multiple choice, they'd want to have strike through enabled, for example. If it's a passage or an ELA assessment, they would probably be more likely to have the line reader or highlight, but it gives the teacher flexibility to kind of set it and forget it or go back on a per assessment basis. So it really gives that flexibility to help get them engaged. We've seen great adoption so far. A lot of teachers are going in and setting it so far at the per tracker basis, which has been really wonderful to see that it's been successful to date. We're working right now on adding more accommodations that should be coming out in the next month. These accommodations, which will complement this group, is annotation. So the student's able to actually draw on the content and leave themselves marks so that they can recognize that and put little notes in the margins or things to help them address the content. In addition, there's a sticky note and a notepad, which are additional things that really help them kind of keep track of it and keep track of their own thinking while they're taking something online. Often they won't have a scratch paper next to them or something like that, and that lets them take it all within the interface of the assessment. A lot of this is really helpful because the state assessment platforms offer these tools and accommodations on those district level state tests. So we want to allow the students and the faculty to have the ability to work with these tools, get familiar with these tools, leverage them when they see fit, and have the student be more comfortable when they're taking an assessment that they know how to manage things like strike through or highlight, and it feels natural, and they're not having multiple testing experiences with different tools that are appearing, you know, at different times.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So oftentimes when we talk about accommodations, you know, we think about screen readers for visually impaired users or, you know, keyboard only type interactions. The thing that I love about these accommodation tools that you've recently released, this helps everybody. Just helps students stay organized as they're going through that assessment. You know, helps them narrow focus in and filter out the noise that can be a distraction while they're taking an exam.
So I agree completely, Matt. I mean, I think that the goal is, you know, we mentioned earlier, is you really want students to display their understanding. So if we're giving things that help this student really uncover and navigate an assessment, it's not there to give them an advantage. They're there to just help them navigate the content in a way that they can approach it for their own learning style. You know, some students would really like to cross things out and have a focus to then think through that in an organized way, or other people like to write words on the page. And, you know, it's really just allowing them to take it in a way that's natural for them. So I agree with you. Everybody then gets to approach it and actually hopefully through these tools and accommodations give the best gauge of where they're at that moment in time, so that their teacher's then able to work about it with intervention strategies for the class and individual students, because they're confident that the assessment is truly displaying student knowledge, not just the test was difficult and they were having a hard time managing it online. And we're really trying to overcome that barrier.
And that's so important, I think, especially in, you know, a post-COVID or during COVID era, of really knowing what students know and don't know in order to do that, not just how well they may be taking a test. So I think that's really important. So moving on, I know that this is the question inquiring minds want to know, but we're talking Canvas integration with Mastery Connect. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you're working to integrate the tracker with the course at the Canvas level.
That's a great question, Jen. Yeah, I think this is our main focus as a team. In 2021, we did a number of enhancements in 2020 for easier SSO into Mastery Connect from Canvas, as well as a better LTI assignment and assessment linking. And now we're really working on making the products feel as one. And that's how we've been approaching this, is we want the customer to not think about them as separate platforms, but to think about them as experiences within the platform. So as you're thinking about mastery-based learning, the Mastery Connect tracker is at the heart of that. It's a standards outlook for the class in order to determine, in essence, their scope and sequence for the year. And what we wanted to be able to do is, in Canvas, when a teacher is within their course, to be able to connect a tracker to that course so that we will allow them to add a tracker in the course, which will recognize the sections of students in that course. And then we will have a link between the tracker and the course, which will mean easy access to the tracker. So you will be able to see from the course all the performance on mastery-based assessments, as well as the ability, when you're creating assessments, to have assignments created in Canvas in order to have the access point for students be through the familiarity of the assignment flow, which the LMS allows, so that users are not going to multiple places. So as we think about it, it's the tracker is a part of a course. It's a part of a course when the course is mastery-based experience. And so for our users, that will be front and center right off the bat, is, do you want a tracker here in this course? If so, yes. Then you have the option of connecting from a curriculum map, which is a district organization plan that teachers have access to that lets them build the tracker from that, to existing trackers that they may have created, or they can build a new tracker right on the spot that links to that course. As I mentioned, one of the key components is the sections of students, making sure that the rosters between the experiences are in sync. And so that's a big component of this, is by linking the course and the tracker, we know who should be where, and we can always account for the students are represented in both the tracker and the course at all times.
This is a big deal for people who are using both of our platforms, and it's really exciting to show kind of that integration path and how we're streamlining everything. So I know you guys are working on that. Do you have kind of a target date on when that will be available?
Yeah, we're targeting this quarter for actually releasing it internally. You know, as we mentioned on this podcast, as all of us in K-12, this is a big change. And having a course and a tracker connected mid-second term of the school year doesn't have as much relevance. So we're going to release it internally as our goal, expose it to customers so they can see it and get a familiarity with it and build the support materials around it. And then we will have it actually released to customers for back to school 2021. So we do what's called a school year rollover at the end of June, where you rebuild your trackers for the next school year and you're looking ahead to the 2021-22. At that point, we want every course that's created to be able to then link to a tracker right off the bat. In addition to that, we've been working on the issue with this course and tracker connection, which historically happened where we didn't have the situation in Mastery Connect where you could have multiple sections within a tracker. That's something we've learned a lot about from Canvas courses, and it's a really nice feature in the sense that if I'm teaching multiple sections of algebra, for example, I might want to have one course and then I'm distributing content at scale to all my sections and not managing each one as an individual unit so that I can have efficiencies and I can see things in one view. So we're also building out the ability for our trackers to support courses that have multiple sections. The language we hear quite often for this is it's called cross-listing. So in that scenario, you would be able to also connect the course that has multiple sections to a tracker due to one tracker and one course, whether it's one section or many. So this, I think, is also going to really expedite the workflow for many people and excite a lot of our shared users.
I think we'll take anything easier next year, right?
That's so true.
Easier.
Well, even without pandemic and corrections with, 2020 and all that kind of stuff, this is exciting, legitimately.
Yeah. Workflow, I mean, there's so much time spent in the preparation and execution of the curriculum that is so time consuming to build that anything we can do to be more efficient for our users to get to the learning and the evaluation of student understanding and, you know, more time on the development, we don't want the product to be the overhead. So this is a really great move between Canvas and MC product teams to make it smooth. Easy, I believe was the keyword.
That's how I always refer to you, smooth and easy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need to get a hat or a shirt.
And while we have you here, I know we want to talk report cards. Again, going back to mastery-based learning, going back to knowing what students know and don't know, I know there's some things on the horizon around our report cards in Mastery Connect.
Yeah, so we have the great product, the report card. It's a mastery-based report card, which allows our users to, at a time determined by them, to create an artifact which represents a student across all of their classes and how they're progressing in mastery. So, you know, we're used to a traditional letter-based report card, I think, in most scenarios, but this is a mastery-based report card. Yes, you can include and map it to letter grades if you choose, but it's really around how are students progressing in each of their courses against the mastery targets laid out for them by their teacher. So these are at a district basis. You can have a personalized report card that has a logo on it, and then it has parameters such as widgets you can personalize, which may have a behavior widget or an attendance widget. And these are inputted by the teachers, and that can all be included in a 1 to 2 page report card, which gives a great overview on a per student basis of how they're doing in mastery for that time period of choice. Our CSMs are really well versed in this product, and for anybody who's interested, I highly recommend speaking with our CSMs. We're really excited about it, especially now as I think having a view into a child's understanding for all of the people who care about the well-being of that student, whether it's a parent or a guardian or a sibling or the student themselves, having something that gives them a overview of how they've been progressing will be really helpful. And going into this summer, where we know there are expected learning gaps, which are well documented at this point based on COVID, it'll be really nice to understand where people are. So if people want to self-solve and evaluate that before the next school year, they can really target areas to improve that would help them in the next year. So we're really glad to be able to make that process of creating these and getting these to districts much more streamlined this year. So it's a faster setup. So if you contact us, we can turn it around in a few days versus a few weeks to a month to build it out for the district. So it's allowing it to be ready much more quickly.
So again, if you're a Mastery Connect customer and you're interested in doing this, CS can help you, or your CSM can help you. Is that correct?
I think it's a great start. Yep. Okay. Great conversation.
All right. Well, I think we have covered a lot. There's a lot of exciting things. And I know this is just the beginning of what you have planned for this year. And so thank you so much for joining us and going over that. There are links in the show notes to the tools and accommodations that have been released. Again, we can help you with report cards if you talk to your CSMs. And thank you, Ben, for diving into K-12 assessment with us today.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again. Always great to have Mr. Smooth and Easy, Ben Birthday, on the show. See you next time.
Well, on the Canvas TLDR podcast, we are always looking at ways to make this a better, more informative podcast. So we would love your feedback.
Yeah, we would love your feedback. We know people are downloading and listening to it, but we don't get a lot of comments or constructive feedback about how we could make this better. You know, what do you want to hear? What do you want us to talk more about or less about?
And for that one guy's comment, no one is forcing us to do the podcast. This is all of our free will. Jen,
yeah,
admit this is of your own free will.
All of my free will. And I'm going to...
Prompted free will. I like how you prompted her response there.
Yeah, and I want to hear from K-12ers, you know, especially, like, how are you using this to help navigate kind of these challenging times? And what else can we do to help you do it more effectively?
Yeah. All of that feedback would be great. Let us know how we can better help you.
And now we would like to welcome Jody Saylor back to the program. Welcome,
back
Jody.
To the show.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah, I think you're one of our most frequent victims on this podcast.
One of our absolute favorites is what Jen
mentioned. Favorite. Interviewees, I think is what you meant to say, Jen.
Yeah, yeah, that is exactly what I meant to say. But welcome back, Jody. So you are on our Canvas team. And I heard that you had some exciting news around Vue Ungraded as Zero. So can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Vue Ungraded as Zero is a feature that we had available in our old gradebook. Many of our listeners today probably don't even realize we have an old gradebook, but it was something that was available there that has been actually one of the most commonly requested features to have available once again in our new gradebook.
This is a hot topic, right? Like, this is not smooth sailing. Everybody agrees on how this thing works and behaves and if it should exist or not.
That is absolutely true. We have been watching all of the responses to the release notes and comments that we've been hearing. We've been working with our CSM team to speak to different users to hear more information. But yeah, there's definitely some controversy over whether they want it or not want it. And with that in mind, we are actually adjusting something from the feature plan that was in the release notes, and that is that we are going to make this a feature option that our administrators can turn on for their account or leave off until they're able to really train teachers and instructors on exactly what it does before they enable this feature.
So why is it so controversial, and why did we initially exclude it from the new gradebook, and why have we now gone back and reintroduced it?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the reason that this is a little bit controversial is because Vue Ungraded as Zero provides instructors the opportunity to do a quick analysis of where their course is at any given moment by turning on this setting to see how are my students progressing if everything that is ungraded is a zero. You can imagine then that plays into the fact that, you know, some instructors may not be caught up on every bit of grading. We have students that turn things in at different times and different things. So it might not be that something has not actually been submitted, but just that I haven't graded it yet. And so if I turn on the setting, I'm seeing some things in different status, essentially. The other thing about it is that it does not change the grades on the student end. This is a visual effect for the teacher, so they can
kind of like a what if, like, you know, we give the students that what if capability where they can go in and mess with grades. This is kind of like a what if everything that is not graded is a zero.
Correct. And this is, like I said, on the teacher side only. So it gives them an opportunity to see who are the students that I need to be worried about, or do I need to be worried about this course in general? Sometimes we have those courses where, you know, I need to be able as a teacher to check how I'm doing and if my instruction is getting through and if students are staying up and current on what needs to be done. And so, you know, this gives them that opportunity to do so. But it does not change the grades on the student's end. So as you mentioned, Matt, they do have the what if grades for students. Also, we have the checkbox that students can uncheck so that they're only seeing their grade based on what has been graded so far. And that's essentially what this would do then from the teacher perspective. They can toggle on and off as much or as little as they need.
Well, that's cool.
So what was the confusion when it did exist in the old gradebook, and why did we exclude it?
Yeah, so one thing that was confusing from the old gradebook is we called it treat ungraded as zero. And there's obvious understanding when we say treat that means I'm applying all of these zeros. And really, it's just a view. It's a visual change for a teacher. It doesn't actually apply all those zeros to where they typically would see the dash for ungraded. And so we wanted to make it very clear this is a view. We have a modal that does pop that does show, you know, this is a visual change only to make sure that that's clear. But then, you know, we have other options now available also within the new gradebook that do allow teachers to go in and apply those zeros if they so choose. They can use the missing policies so that if something is missing, it will automatically apply that zero after the due date. Or they can also use the default grade option in the individual assignments. So under, you know, each individual assignment in the gradebook, they can select to use the default grade. And then they just want to make sure they don't check the box to overwrite already graded or already, what do we say, already entered grades.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
So they have options to apply them now, which we did not have necessarily in the old gradebook. We are also looking at options of, you know, for those teachers that have 100 assignments, that's still a heavy lift. And so is there an opportunity for us to possibly just say, view this, okay, now I'm ready to apply so that maybe at the end of the term and whatnot, it would apply those zeros that would show on the student end. But again, that's something that we need to be very careful of because we want to make sure that that will meet the needs of our users or that they know what that button does again, because there are many that are not supposed to apply zeros if something is missing. They might have a different default grade that is supposed to be put there. Many of our K-12 institutions, especially right now, while a lot are still on virtual learning, are not supposed to give zeros because they don't know if a student has attempted or not attempted or what the situation might be during this unprecedented time. And so they're told to put 30% instead of a zero or something else. So we're being very careful and cautious and making sure that we're talking to as many people as we can to make sure we make that right decision before we just allow for that.
So in the old grade book, it was a pretty laborious undertaking to stay up to date and current on grades. And, you know, you mentioned you could apply that, quote unquote, treat ungraded as zero, which was visual only. But what we found is, you know, towards the end of the semester or whatever, and you're trying to finalize grades, people would confuse that for having it being been applied to the grade book, which is not the case.
Correct.
And so when the grades came out, then it would be confusing and students would get grades that the teacher didn't think was going to be the, you know, the actual grade, et cetera. But you mentioned like a couple of other options that help automate all of this so that it's not so daunting of a task to manage those grades in the grade book for the instructors. They can, you know, automatically set some rules and apply those if a certain amount of time has passed or whatever, and find that floor, whether it's a zero or a 30% or whatever, right, and have it automatically apply.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, grading is a laborious task no matter what. So as a former teacher myself and also a adjunct professor, I spend a lot of time grading, and I don't have a large class in comparison to many that we have using Canvas. So, you know, we're trying to make sure that we're making this a little bit easier, less time consuming, but also still open to what is necessary for whatever your grading policies are.
Yeah, that's something we hear all the time, that this is, the grading is a massive time suck, you know, for any instructor, along with creating great content and planning activities and that sort of thing. So I think that's awesome that we're finding these opportunities to pull out some of those more tedious tasks where we can assist from, you know, using machines to do things intelligently that we tell it to do, which should hopefully free up some time. But view ungraded as zero, I think just in the name change alone, hopefully we see less confusion with this implementation of this feature.
That's our hope.
It's good to have hope. We need hope.
Never a bad word.
So when is this in production? Is it out live right now?
This actually goes into production on Saturday with the feature option available. So originally we had released it in the release notes. This was just going live for everyone. After hearing plenty of feedback, we decided it would be best at this point to do a feature option, and then we'll look at where is the real best place for this to live. Matt, you can explain what, you know, the point of feature options are, and they're not supposed to be something that is longstanding. And so we want to make sure that we do move it eventually to the right place, whether that be a gradebook setting, a setting at the account level. We're looking at that, of course. But so the only change from what's in the release notes currently that we will be updating today is that it will be with a feature option going live to production on Saturday.
Okay, yeah, so
by the time this airs, that'll be that's Saturday, this coming Saturday. This will air beginning of March? My calendar is just terrible. What? Yeah. Math is hard.
Go turn so
this will be probably at the beginning of March, so it'll be live. Like, it'll be
live with that feature option.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and as you mentioned, feature options are not meant to be a permanent place, right? That's where people can make adjustments and plan for these features to become a part of their everyday within their institution. If there's a strong desire to still have this as an option that can be turned on or off for an institution, I could see this migrating out of that feature options section and moving over to a setting within within the account.
Absolutely. And that being said, we've been watching, again, all of the feedback that we've been receiving. We'll continue watching feedback, of course, for anything gradebook related so that we can make adjustments as appropriate.
Yeah, people don't think we look at the feedback. We absolutely do. You know, Jody is one of the rare exceptions where she is a technologist, but also an instructor and in the classroom. Most of us are not, myself included. I am not an instructor, not a teacher, not an educator by any stretch, a technologist. So we rely heavily on those comments and that feedback. So Jody's one of our glorious anomalies that we love having here. Well, thanks for joining us this time around. I'm sure we'll have you back soon.
Yeah. I know we'll see you again soon, Jody.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think I'll be back next month with some more great stuff. So thanks again for having me.
Awesome. See you soon.
Thanks so much.
That was it. February TLDR Canvas podcast is done.
It is the shortest month.
Yeah, shortest month. Great content. Not a super long episode, but honestly, some really good product info, and give us some feedback. Smash the like button or the subscribe button. What do those kids say these days?
Smash that like button. We got to use more podcast jargon. We got to, if we're going to be professional podcasters, we got to.
Professional anything would be great.
Use the language.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. See you next month.
Thanks, everybody. See you next month.
Thank you for joining us on the Canvas TLDR podcast. If you'd like to take a look at what's happening in our next release, please visit releases.instructure.com, and we'll see you next month. Bye-bye.